Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Heard right here on this station. Tom Moore and company will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to join us and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Call 855-722-4253. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what the men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We three, Tom Moore, gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation in Hamilton, Texas, Frank Briscoe, gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Congregation in Stephenville, Texas, and yours truly, Foy Forehand, gospel preacher in a semi-retired situation, being able to work together with these two men on this radio program, a great and special honor. We're so glad you're with us this evening. We hope you will take careful note of the things we're going to discuss this evening. There is an old poem that deals with a fellow who came to a fork in the road. Two roads diverged in a wood. And he said, I took the one less traveled, and it has made all the difference. Well, men take the easy road, the road well traveled. But sometimes the difficult road is ignored. And that, of course, is going to be one of the things we're dealing with. A road that says, don't be deceived. While there is a road that says, follow me and don't worry about anything. So tonight we're going to be looking at some thoughts centered around this idea of let no one lead you astray. Don't be deceived, especially in the religious realm. But Tom, don't you have something you need to tell us before we get started?
Indeed I do. I'd like to remind our listening audience from whence we're broadcasting tonight. We're broadcasting on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM in Hereford, Canyon and Amarillo, KOME 95.3 FM out of Glenrose, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, and KVOP AM 1090 in Plainview. We're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network. And this program will be rebroadcast at 6 a.m. on Tuesday at thegospelradionetwork.org. Our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. We'd like you to also remember that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'd also like to remind you that there is a chat room available. If you'll go to the Gospel Radio Network, you'll see where you can click on the chat room area and get involved in a discussion that way as well. And we also have an email address. If you would like to email us questions or comments or perhaps topics that you would like for us to discuss in future days, we encourage you to do so. The email address is questions@harrisonmoore.org. We'd also like to remind you that there is a podcast available of our programs. If you'll go to harrisonmoore.org, at the bottom right-hand corner of the webpage to the RSS feed, you click on that, follow the directions, and you can sign up for podcasts, and you will be alerted every time a new podcast is available. Again, this is a live call-in program with the number to call 1-855 QA Bible. Let no one lead you astray. Frank, what do you think about that?
Well, as you and Floyd both mentioned, our thoughts this evening are going to be taken from a third chapter of the book of 1 John. John gives us these words, "My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that doeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You know, it is amazing how many times the Bible warns us about the deceitfulness of sin. "Take heed, brethren, at least happily there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. The word deceitful carries with it the meaning of that which gives a false impression, whether by appearance, statement, or influence. You know, it's kind of like wearing a mask. Sin wears a mask because it wants to hide its real identity. It wants to appear as something that it's not. Sin does not want to appear to be bad. And this is the things in various ways that we're going to be discussing this evening. And looking at the warning that God gives us so many times, let no one lead you astray. We are the children of God, and we need to purify ourselves even as he's pure.
That is pointedly powerful statement you've made, Frank. And you know, when you think about this idea of deception, there are so many warnings in the Bible. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived." 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived, evil companions corrupt good morals." Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Titus chapter 3 verse 3, "For we also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy." And in James chapter 1 and verse 16, inspiration tells us, "Be not deceived." And then again in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So when we look at all of these things, these warning after warning after warning that God has given, it brings us back to this statement found in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, "Let no man lead you astray." But that would be especially true of yourself.
Exactly right. You know, and they're warning the world, evil is a wanting to lead us astray, teaching things like, well, you know, sin's not really all that bad. And they'll insert various words for the word sin, but in reality, it's sin. It's not all that bad. They'll try to, many times, hide the reality of sin. They hide the results of sin. And, you know, you could also put in this area, the area of false doctrine, and we may talk about some specifics of that later on. But they'll say things like, well, you know, one church is as good as another. And as I was driving down the road just the other day in Marble Falls, there was a denomination that had this phrase on their marquee, "No rules, just Jesus." That's leading people astray.
Sure is.
And we live in a society where being politically correct many times is leading men astray. And that's what they're trying to do. And we need to be alert to that. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight Don't be led astray. Be alert. Check the scriptures out to make sure before you follow any path you're going the right way.
Well, Frank mentioned a minute ago, sin wears a mask, puts on a false face, a false front. I remember a song that came out in the, I believe it was the 1970s, and some female singer sang it, and I remember the lyrics. It says, somebody's knocking, should I let him in? It's the devil, would you look at him? I heard about him, I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans. That's the way Satan comes. That's the way sin comes, with deception, with a false face, with a false front, and with an intention to destroy, not to help. What say you, Frank?
Well, you know, when we think of the idea of a mask, there's only one purpose for a mask, and that's to in some way hide the true identity. You know, we see it insofar as society is concerned. Someone goes into a place, does something they shouldn't, rob. They want to cover up their real identity. They don't want people to see them for who they really are. And so a mask is to hide the true identity. And that's what sin does. You know, we listen to the things that we're told over and over again insofar as the things the world is concerned. And it always emphasizes, glorifies certain aspects of it without telling us what it really means or what it really does. It doesn't want us to see the things that sin actually accomplishes insofar as our lives are concerned.
Exactly. You know, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 that Frank read a moment ago, let's read it again. It says there, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." You know, to become hardened is to become morally obstinate, to be stubborn. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it talks about them being seared as with a hot iron, having their feeling, no more feeling. And that's what this deceit will do. That's what the deceitfulness of sin will do. And people, when they become hardened like that, they become so they're unwilling to listen to instruction, and especially unwilling to listen to what God has to say. I'm reminded of the Israelites back in the day of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls? But they said, we will not walk therein." That's hardened hearts,
yes.
The deceitfulness of sin.
You know, about two verses above where you just read there in Jeremiah is where he speaks about the fact that they went about crying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. In other words, they were presenting a picture of peace and security that really didn't exist.
Yeah.
And later they found out that that was simply a mask that was hiding the things that were about to come.
Well, when you look at all of this, you get this idea that, it's like guys who own cattle put a brand on that cattle. And that's to let everybody know that belongs to them. But you think about that brand. It's seared into the skin of the animal. What grows there when it's seared? Does it ever regrow hair? No, it is killed. It is dead. And so when the heart of man becomes seared, when his conscience gets to the point where he no longer feels the pain or the weight or of the guilt of what he is doing wrong, then he's in this position where he's seared as with a hot iron. And this kind of deception, whether it's someone else did it to you, as that fella Jim Jones did all those people down in Guyana and had literally hundreds of people commit suicide at his word. At his word. Not God's word, at his word. Mm-hmm. When you think about that kind of a thing, whether you're being deceived by someone else or self-deceived, as we mentioned here from James chapter 1, verse 22, deceiving your own selves, deluding your own selves, there has to be a standard by which all of these things can be judged and considered, or you can never know what's right and what's wrong.
Exactly.
And
right.
That's really what we need to talk about. What yeah. is the standard that determines what's right and what's wrong?
That's right. And that's why sin wears a mask, because they don't want us to see the standard. And so the purpose of a mask is to hide the real identity. Sin does not want to appear sin. It does not want to appear bad. It reminds me of a sermon that I once preached entitled Maggot Pie. I did this one time at Bible camp with the kids, and they kind of freaked out a little bit. But you think about maggot pie. Would you eat maggots? Well, of course you wouldn't eat maggots. But if you take a pie shell, put those maggots in there, and then you cover up with a fine-looking crust, you know, and make those little cuts on it that women cut on there and put some sugar on it and then bake it in the oven. It looks wonderful. The maggots are hid under the mask of the crust, and you don't really know what you have until you bite into it. That's the purpose of the mask, to hide God's righteousness so that people will bite into something that's evil, or to hide the evils of a sin.
In Romans chapter 7, a place where inspiration is trying to emphasize the fact that the entire Old Testament is gone. But in emphasizing that, it says there was a reason for it to be given. And among the things was that when, for that Jewish man living under the law, sin, finding occasion through the commandment, beguiled me, and through it slew me. And so in verse 13 then, did that which was good become death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might be shown to be sin by working death to me through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become exceeding sinful. This is the problem. Folks just don't see it as bad as it is.
Mm-hmm. They don't look beyond the outer shell. They look at what is presented to them and you know, are not willing to look just a little bit farther. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, chapter on faith, begin chapter 10, the last verse, where he speaks concerning faith unto the saving of the soul. And then you have that great long list there in the book of Hebrews from Abel, Enoch, Abraham, and down to you get to verse 25, move to Moses. But it talks about the choice that Moses made. And the choice that he made was to give up the pleasures of sin. And that always, you know, gets my attention. Sin appears to be pleasurable. It wants you to think that it's going to be enjoyable, that it's beauty, that it's to be desired. And not look at the end result. Mm-hmm. And so there is that face, there's that mask that's presented simply to appear or to show itself as something which it actually is not.
Have you ever heard that little poem? Vice is a monster of such horrible mien, and that word means appearance. Vice is a monster of such horrible mien as to be hated needs but to be seen. Yet, seen too often, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. Mm-hmm. There's a progression that's always involved in it.
Exactly
right. A progression that begins with a idea or a thought that, well, maybe, you know, hey, listen, it might be one of my relatives, and so I gotta be supporting family no matter what. A lot of people feel that way about it.
Exactly.
But even if they are family, if they're doing wrong, we need to stand up against wrong and for that which is right.
Exactly. Sin wears a mask. It One of the masks that it wears is the mask of beauty. Sin appears other than what it actually is. We think of sin as an ugly monster, but a monster who wears a beautiful mask. And, you know, we see that all over the world, especially in commercials. In the, for example, alcohol commercials, what do you see pictured there in the commercials? You see beautiful women, masculine men, happiness, joy, you know, party time. They don't show the pictures of a man sitting over there in the gutter drunk. They don't show the pictures of a man behind a wheel who's just run into a tree, or the family he's killed on the side of the road, or the man in a hospital who has cirrhosis of the liver. They don't show any of those things. Those are masked by pretty women, masculine men. We realize, for example, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5, it talks there about how a wolf is clothed in sheep's clothing. It's masking the danger. It's masking the ugliness with something that's beautiful, something that we don't fear, and something that we like to look at. That's what sin does.
There was a wonderful gospel preacher a few years back who would often illustrate his sermons with what he called chalk drawings. And one of those, I remember, he was talking about the evils of alcohol. And when he got through, it was that man in the gutter drowning in his own vomit. And the caption was, "The finished product of a brewer's art." You hear the finest effort of the brewer's art, but this is the finished product of the brewer's art.
For many years, you go through the city of Jacksboro going north or west, and there's a real sharp turn just as you get out to the edge of Jacksboro, and right in there was one of those great big billboards. I don't mean just a little sign. I mean one of those great big signs, and it was a horrific car wreck, and it showed bodies strewn about, broken bottles, you know, all of the things that goes with a terrible wreck. And the only message on that whole billboard was the finished product of the brewer's art.
Hmm.
That sign stayed there. It may still be there, but it stayed there for years.
And so it is.
You know, as we think about that, though, Tom, you may be fixing to say something about it, but so often we read the story of Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. And we just say, well, Eve did this, and she shouldn't have done that. But, you know, Satan made that look about as attractive as you can imagine when
exactly
you really stop
right
and think about it.
And he appealed to her sight and desires and wisdom. And isn't that what sin does? It wants to, she looked at it, it was something to be desired, something that she wanted to eat, something to make her wise. And all of that was sin, Satan, putting a mask on something. Now, God told him, "In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Well, Satan puts a little mask on that, puts a little knot in it, and says, "You shall not surely die." And so we see there that's one of the ways that sin, Satan, puts a mask on things. It does not let you see clearly what's behind the mask. You know, when you talk about monsters and putting a mask on, the mask is to cover the ugliness. The mask is to cover the ugliness of sin, and also many times to cover the righteousness of God so that man cannot see it.
And, of course, that's one of the big deals about false doctrine. As Jesus said, beware of false prophets there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and following. And that's exactly the point being made. And 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companions corrupt good morals. Those with whom you spend time will be those like whom you are. Mm-hmm. You'll be like them. I noticed that in the Old Testament, talking about idols that men makes, the scripture says those that make them will be like them. When we're just more interested in what will make us feel good rather than how we can be right with God, we're going to get off into those things. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Eve listened to Satan, you know, he presented her something that was attractive to the eyes. It looked good. I mean, it was pretty. And not only that, but you could just tell she, you know, as she looked at that, it would taste good. And then the bottom line was, it'll make us wise. It was the thing that, you know, he held it up to her in every way. It looks good, tastes good. It's going to put you on a different level as far as your life is concerned. He presented all of that, but it was a mask that covered up the day you eat thereof. Thou shalt surely die.
Exactly right.
How much of that have you seen with men like this so-called new hermeneutic? We've got to find a different way to read and understand the scriptures. If you just read what it says and you believe what it says, well, you're just an old fogey and a fool. We've got to have a new way so that we can make it into something it's not. Well, that's just wrong. Well, that's just wrong.
You know, that's really what's behind the statement, no rules, just Jesus. You know?
Yes, it is.
They don't want to get to, and to me, that's the wildest and most ridiculous statement of no rules, just Jesus. It seemed like Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Those are rules.
Do you suppose they plagiarized that from the steakhouse that said no rules, just right? Yeah, I think probably that's exactly where they got it. But tell me something. You go to a steakhouse and you order a steak. I don't know what you prefer. I prefer mine medium rare. Mm-hmm. But I order a steak medium rare and they got no rules. They don't know when it's medium rare. They don't know when it's well done. They don't know when it's raw because they got no rules. You going to go for that?
I'm not going for that.
Not me.
And yet, when the mask is put on it, a lot of people go for it.
That's right.
And that's what we're talking about tonight. Now, remember, this is a live call-in program. And the number to call, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Frank, there's another mask that that sin wears, and that is being a servant, when in reality it's just the opposite.
Just the opposite. You know, Denny mentions on the chat box here that it all goes back to choices, and that's not new. Moses made a choice. He talked about the choice of life. You know, Elijah talks to the children of Israel, they needed to quit going back and forth, flip-flopping, and choose God. But the thing that we're talking about, and as Dennis pointing out here, sin tries to cover up the choices to get you to make a choice that it wants you to make, and it'll be the wrong choice.
Or make you think there's only one choice
to
make.
Or make you think there's only one choice, or that this is a good choice. But as you said, the choice of being a servant, you know, we look at it, you mentioned a commercial. One of them that I remember that, I don't know, for whatever reason, it kind of stuck with me. It showed these individuals, they go up into the mountains, a bunch of men, hunting trip, fishing trip, whatever. They get to their camp, they set it up, got a campfire going. You know, beautiful, beautiful scenery. And then they open up a case of beer, and the only message is, it doesn't get any better than this. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they want you to see. I think about that because of something that happened to me a long time ago. I was on the river fishing. My dad, he'd taken me and my brothers fishing, and there's a group of young men, probably 20 years old, came down, and they were drinking. You know, it doesn't get any better than this. They all had their beer, and I was about 12, 13, 14, and I have to admit, you know, looking at them, I thought they was having a big time. You know, they had all of this, and they stayed down there part of the night, and they left. The next day, we left, and we found their car. And we found where the guy's head had gone through the windshield and what all he'd left there. Now, it doesn't get in, you know, which picture does the sin want you to see?
Yeah.
You know, it wants you to see sitting by the fire, and I don't want you to see that car wrapped around a big old cedar tree, windshield busted out, the guy's head stuck through the window.
So they put a mask on the broken car, the dead people, so that you only see the so-called fun part of it. That's what sin does.
Well, several years ago, you're talking about these kind of experiences in northwestern Montana. They have what they call logging days in this particular town, and it's a lot of fun. And one of the things they do is they have a raft race down the river, 17-mile raft race. And so me and some of other members of the church had got together and built a raft out of cedar logs, and we were paddling down the river, and several rafts had beer kegs on them, and they were drinking and hooping and hollering, and the time finally came when this guy just stood up and started using the bathroom right in the middle of the river, right in plain sight of everybody. He had totally lost touch with reality and with morality. He had lost touch with decorum. It had totally ruined his ability to see what he was doing. And ugly, ugly, ugly.
And that's really what we're talking about with regard to being a servant. You know, young people and others take up the habit of strong drink and drugs, believing that they make such habits their servants to bring them happiness. Alcohol. It's people, they are taught, well, it'll make you popular. It'll make you one of the guys, one of the crowd, thinking that you can use drink as your servant to give you these things. But in reality, you become its servant. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker, and don't be deceived thereby. We need to realize that the finished product of the brewer's art, has already been mentioned in two illustrations, is not what the world paints. It paints it uses the mask to make it look good, when in reality, it is not. And, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, and many other passages talk about the importance of being sober, being in your right mind. That applies to alcohol. It applies to drugs. Alcohol, drugs, they promise what they cannot provide. You want to use them as your servant to make you happy, but in reality, you become their servant, and you become the servant of sin.
I think one of the most pointed passages in all the Bible is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, where the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, writes, "Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now, we don't abstain from the lust for food. It's to be used correctly, but we don't abstain from that. We don't abstain. In fact, if a husband or a wife refuses the marital relationship, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, specifically forbids that. You render to your mate due benevolence to prevent fornication. And so you don't abstain from that in that category. But there are some things that war against the soul. And one of those is alcohol. And another one is other kinds of illicit drugs. They war against the soul because from the very moment they are ingested into the body or injected into the body, they destroy soberness and the ability to think correctly. And God said, abstain from those. There is no way those can be used in moderation or for recreation. God said, abstain.
You know, as we said, then, drink, alcohol, it wants to be your servant, and it presents itself, I will be your servant. I'll get you in with the right crowd. I'll make you a part of all that is good. But does drink end up serving the drunkard, or does drunkard end up serving the drink? That's the finished product.
Yeah, and, again, it gets back to that mask, doesn't it? It covers up what's really involved. You know, when we think about the idea of being a servant and the mask, the world looks at immorality as a servant to give pleasure.
Even to manipulate other people
exactly
so that
right.
they'll do your will.
Yeah. You know, we're not to be involved in fornication. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. And when you look at that, people say, well, you know, she's, you know, there's a song I was listening, I heard on the radio coming home from Austin today about this guy who had his wife and everybody loved her and thought she was beautiful and wanted her and everything. Everybody was lusting for his wife. But that's the way the world is. They're lusting for, they're wanting that, and they're wanting to commit fornication because it feels good. They like it. It's going to bring them notoriety. And you talk about these kids in the locker room in football, they brag about, you know, having such and such with so and so. They brag about all these things, the beauty of it, they say. But then the mask hides the pregnancy. The mask hides the venereal diseases. The mask hides God's command not to commit fornication.
And the mask hides the literally thousands of human babies who are slaughtered mm-hmm. each year as a result of
exactly right.
that particular sin.
You know, not only that, but look how many infants are left for society to raise. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend who works with the Child Protective Agency, and she's telling about, you know, getting a call in the middle of the night. Come down to the police station. We've got 2-3 little children down here. Parents are drug addicts. The children have been terribly abused. We want you to come and take care of them until we can find a suitable place for them. And she does this regularly. And you know, this is the kind of stories that we need to hear, but we don't hear, mm-hmm. because that's not what sin wants us to see. How many infants are left abused, broken, deserted,
scarred for life
of immorality?
Yeah. You know, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered."
You need to go back to verse 16 and see what it says about who is really servant to who.
Verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey?"
There it is.
"Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness."
There it is.
And so again, there's the mask comes into play, doesn't it? We ought to be servants of righteousness, but that's masked. And we've said to become servants of unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible, it's interesting to note that the Bible always simply points out there's just two ways. You know, wherever you begin, either Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus tells us that there's two ways, narrow way and a broad way. John tells us that we're either in the light or we're in the darkness. Jesus said we're either building on the rock or we're building on the sand. You know, this is the choice that we have to make, but it is limited to those two choices. But sin would have us to think that, you know, there are those in-between places that we can go and that ultimately we'll end up all right.
On the chat room, Emily asked a question, and Denny answered it, and there might be some people who are wondering the same thing. She says, "What qualifies as worldly pleasure?" Denny responds and says, "The vices that the men are talking about tonight, drugs, alcohol, fornication, things mentioned in Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, or Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, these things that are condemned in the scriptures." Mm-hmm. These are the worldly pleasures. You know, there's lots of worldly pleasures that are right. It's a worldly pleasure. I like playing with my cows. I like going fishing. I like going hunting. Those are pleasures that are of a worldly nature, but they're not of a sinful nature. There's a difference.
Yes.
And that's pretty much what you were mentioning a while ago and what you were saying.
You know, there's another question brought there on the chat box. Is all pleasure sin?
Yeah.
And I like the answer that Denny gave. He simply said, not at all. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Christian life is full of blessings and pleasure. Worldly pleasure and the passing pleasures of sin are quite different.
Mm-hmm. So, that's what you were pointing out a while ago with regard to Moses. Moses chose rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There, the pleasures of sin, there is some, but they are short-lived, and they also follow the law of diminishing returns, the law of diminishing returns.
Yeah.
You have to have more and more and more to get the same original kick you got out of it to begin with.
And as you mentioned a while ago about the pleasure of the world, it's a pleasurable thing for a man and a woman to have sex. But for it to be right, it has to be between a man and a woman who are in a marriage relationship, a scriptural marriage relationship,
God-approved marriage relationship.
Exactly. And so we've got to, you know, we got to put on these. Well, you Christians must not have any pleasure whatsoever. No, we have godly pleasure. We have worldly pleasure that's not against God's word.
Did you ever hear that story about the young Christian lady who this old boy, you know, he is trying his best to get her to go out with him and go dancing and go drinking, and she kept saying no, no, no. And finally one day he said, well, what do you do for fun? She said, well, one of the things, I wake up every morning with a good conscience and I remember everything I did the night before. Mm-hmm. That was good. Now that's pleasure.
You know, another idea when we talk about the mask is there's a mask of being right. People sometimes are self-deceived, aren't they, Frank?
But, you know, the wise man, Proverbs chapter 16, he said, there is a way that seemeth right. And then he goes on and said, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, it carries with it the idea and the sign of being right, and it appeals to people. Take this way. And this is the reason that we are warned so many times by God to try the spirits, to study, to show ourselves approved, to make sure that we're going in the right way, because just because it looks right doesn't mean it's right.
You know, Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Jehovah, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We think that we can be right, but when the Lord is not directing our steps, we deceive ourselves with that mask.
There was a song out, another one back in the 70s, a very popular daughter of a very popular singer of the 50s, and the song ended with these words, "It can't be wrong if it feels so right."
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I remember that song growing up.
Yeah, if you light up my life.
Or like, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
There was another one. Yeah, yeah. But that's just exactly what we're talking about here. Not only do we have Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seemeth right, but look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, where it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool.
Mm-hmm.
That's F-O-O-L. God said that.
Mm-hmm.
God had the wise men in Proverbs say that. If it feels right, and that's the only reason you're doing it, because it feels right to you, you can rest assured it's wrong.
You know, y'all was talking about songs. You know, there was another one came out. I think it was a father and daughter that sang this. But heaven is just a sin away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my!
And it was talking about an immoral act of having a sexual relationship with someone, and that would have been heaven, sin, but heaven just a sin away. That's the thing that we have thrown at us all of the time. That's the reason the Bible, I really like the fact that far at the very beginning just gave us a quick sampling of how many times God warns us about being deceived.
You know, we talk about this with regard to immorality, but, you know, also that same mentality of being right, what I feel, is really plagued the religious world as well.
Oh, it really has. There are so many people who say, well, I just know in my heart that this is what I should do. Even though God says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from every form or of the very appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. And as Frank mentioned a minute ago from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, especially not the one that's between your own ears, but prove the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Mm-hmm. Prove it, prove it, prove it. And a lot of people want to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, present your bodies a living sacrifice, but they don't read the rest of that, which says, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Throughout the Bible, God has said, prove it. And if you can't prove it right, that proves it's wrong.
Not long ago, I was teaching a class in a particular religion, something very popular that's come up in the last few years. And they asked me to get some information on it. I got on the internet and I just simply pulled up their organization and asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And among other things, they finally came back and sent me a little poem, not poem, prayer, kind of a prayer, and said, if you'll say this prayer or something like it, you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many people are going to accept something like that without ever looking any farther? You know, nowhere.
Did that card have a scripture that you could go and read
No scripture, no nothing. That was the I still got it. I run it off. That's the only answer that they gave. And, you know, just do whatever you want to, and you'll be saved. And this is the thing that we need to guard about as far as religion is concerned. Don't be led astray. We need to, and before I read the scripture a moment ago, try the Spirit. See whether it came from God. Mm-hmm. You know, this goes way back. Do you remember one of the last things that Moses told children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy? And he talks about the prophet. And he said, if a prophet comes and says something and it doesn't come to pass, this is Deuteronomy chapter 18, don't fear that prophet. Well, if you look at that today, what Moses was telling them is the same thing that we say today. If somebody tells you something, and it doesn't come to pass, you can't find it in God's word, then he didn't come from God.
But there was another thing Moses said. If that prophet says something's going to happen and it comes to pass, and then he says, now you follow my teaching contrary to the word of God, you don't listen to him either.
Mm-hmm.
Always try it by the word of God, not by whether or not it feels good, not whether or not I like it, but whether or not we have the authority in the New Testament in this dispensation to do those things.
You know, and in connection with that, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves,
yes,
whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, except you be reprobate. And so not only do we need to examine what we're being taught, but we also need to examine ourselves to make sure that what we're doing is right. And so that mask of being right can cause and lead many people astray. But in our few minutes left, there's one other thing we'd like to talk about, and that's the mask of reaping what doesn't sow. You know, that is something that seldom is mentioned, if ever is mentioned, with things of the world that causes us difficulty, that is sin. They don't show the consequence. We've already alluded to some of that, but there are consequences to sin. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
And if sowing to the Spirit means anything at all, you go back to Jesus' own words in Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15. It means following what the written word says, without addition, without subtraction, without substitution, being honest and having integrity in dealing with the Word of God, as Frank pointed out earlier from 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study so that you'll be approved by God, because man will tell you just about anything you want to hear. We live in a world filled with yes men, and sometimes some of the movies make out of that idea. You got a boardroom meeting there, and the big guy says, "This is what I want." Everybody says, "Oh, yes, sir, you're right, you're right." Even though they might think that's the stupidest idea in the world. We live in a world of yes men. Yes men. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you what you want to hear, but we need to go with what God says instead.
I think in that sense, what we're looking at, probably this idea of reaping what we don't sow, perhaps the mask that sin wears the most, is it really won't hurt if you do this. It'll all turn out all right. And don't want you to ever see what the end result mm-hmm. is going to be.
Or things like, "Well, I can handle it." How many times have you heard, "I can handle it"? Yeah. You know, that type of mentality. And again, we need to tell people about the consequences of sin. And when we don't, the consequences of not following God, the consequences of believing in your heart something is right when in reality it is not, the consequences of being a servant of sin, and the consequences of of the evils that come our way, and the consequences that happen when we are deceived by the beauty of sin.
Why are doctors warned against self-medication? Huh? Why?
Well, they can deceive themselves to be either sick or not sick.
Oh, I can handle it? Yeah. I don't know how many people here ever watched the old MASH television series. I never watched it originally, but I've watched it on reruns. And one of the things I remember is one of the doctors was self-medicating. Mm-hmm. And the time came when that finally got to him, and he became a liability in the operating room.
And, you know, and it's not only self-medication, but also medicating your family. Because sometimes we don't look at it clearly, objectively.
Right.
And so there's important to that. We don't realize that we do indeed reap what we sow.
Always, always, always.
Near young man. Had his whole life before him, probably in his early 20s. Then he disappeared. And when I checked on him, what I hadn't known, he was homosexual. Got sick, went to the doctor, and the doctor told him he had AIDS. He immediately went home and took his own life. You know, what a terrible, terrible sad thing. Well, what a life he had, what an opportunity was his, and it's all gone.
Yeah.
It's all gone.
I remember when I was much younger, there was a basketball player in Maryland, Glenn Bias. He was supposed to be the first or second draft pick in the NBA. Took drugs first and only time, and he died. The consequences of sin.
There are always consequences. Folks need to understand that. There are always consequences.
Exactly right.
And one final thing, Tom, is the fact that sin wears the mask of telling us that, well, you may figure out this is not good, but you've got plenty of time to make the changes that you need to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just put it off. It'll be all right. You've got time.
Yeah.
And yet so many.
Go ahead and sow your wild oats now, and we can pray for a crop failure later.
Yeah. How many times have y'all had parents come into your office crying in tears because their children have gone astray, and it was because the parents were not bringing them upright, you know, not bringing the church as they ought, not teaching them and instructing them and wanting us to fix it, when in reality they simply reap what they sowed, and the parents are now also reaping what they have sowed. Mm-hmm. It's a very sad thing, and your heart breaks
for them.
Very sad. But we've got to realize the importance of the mask that sin wears. Before we give some final comments and thoughts about our program, I'd like to mention our sponsors. We're being sponsored tonight by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hamilton or the Park High Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also many friends and family members contribute as well, and we are so thankful for all of these contributors to the program, and all the monies that come in go directly to the broadcasting of this program. You know, as you mentioned, Satan and sin offers a promise of plenty of time, you know, but the reality is we don't know for sure how long we're going to live. We could be killed. We could die of a massive heart attack. We could be killed on the way home. There is no guarantee of another breath of life. And not only that, there is no guarantee of another tomorrow. The Lord could come at any moment. We don't know when. He'll come as a thief in the night when we expect it. There's not always going to be a tomorrow for some people.
Absolutely. And if you're out there and you're not a Christian, you know, Satan's telling you that, well, someday you can become a Christian, and someday you need to obey the gospel and to be buried with Christ in the water of grave of baptism, be raised to walk in the newness of life, but you've got time. Or if you are a child of God and have gone back into the world and you're thinking about it, well, Satan continually whispers in your ear, I know that you need to do this, and it's all right for you to plan to make your life right and to straighten up and get back. And you could do it someday, but now you've got plenty of time. You don't have to be in a hurry. Judgment and death is far away. And yet God keeps telling us, be not deceived, because we don't have that assurance of life.
The half-brother of Jesus, James, is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, Come now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For ye are a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Holy Spirit had Paul write that today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And you know, the truth is, now is all we have. And anybody who says not now doesn't realize that that expression, not now, is merely the present tense of never. They're really saying, I'm never going to do it, to say, not now.
So we need to pull off the mask and see sin as it really is. Or pull off the mask and see God's word as it really is. It's been a delight to have you in our audience tonight, and we hope that the things that you've heard tonight will encourage you to pull the mask of sin away and look and see sin as it really is, indeed most sinful. We hope that you'll listen in each Monday at this time. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Praise thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.